This country's regional musical traditions have long since burst past their borders. You no longer have to go to Kentucky to hear real bluegrass. You don't have to go to Mississippi to hear country blues. And if you enjoy any of them, you're ready to embrace the Americana movement, in which young musicians merge all the styles of music that are made by the people for the people. Discord and Rye is an Americana band that will be performing tomorrow evening in our Atherton Performing Arts Studio. And his guitarist, John Ridgway, is with us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
You grew up in the South, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in Smoky Mountains in North Carolina and then Virginia as well.
So bluegrass music was all around you, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
But as you know, it used to be anyway that, as I was saying just now, you really had to go to the South to hear real bluegrass. You had to go to the Deep South to hear country blues. But now you can hear it just about anywhere, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct. If you do go to the South, you don't really have an option. It's absolutely everywhere. And the thing is that it has taken off and spread throughout, you know, pretty much all over the world. I was over in the UK a few years back, and I was surprised. I was hearing more bluegrass music on the radio there than I did back home in the States. So yeah. It's all over the world now. It's great.
What do you think is the source of its appeal?
I think it's because it's a very honest and just talent driven style of music. There's really nothing to hide behind, and it's just raw and honest and completely down to earth. Because you don't find that a lot with music these days. So I think people are just kind of drawn to it because it's just very natural and honest.
You know, when you think of the stories that get told in bluegrass songs or folk songs and in blues songs, they frequently sort of come together. So traditions that you think were kind of separate, right, might even do the same song with, different chords. Or you might hear, Sitting on Top of the World done as a bluegrass song.
Oh, yeah.
Or as a country song or as a Chicago blues song.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. Some of the songs that we have is there's a couple of songs I've written. It's basically blues songs just sped up, and they sound like bluegrass, but they were written as blues songs.
When you go to write a song, what do you start with? Do you start with like a story that you want to tell, or what's your sort of point of origin for those?
I usually just start with an absolute need to play a new song, mm-hmm. and then I kind of go with a pick a story that I've told over the years, and I kind of know it, and I just kind of turn it into music. A lot of the songs that we have, they're all like true. They're true stories. Mm-hmm. Our old bass player Ronnie, he and I would write together, and we would just write songs about things that have happened to us, things we've seen, people we've met, and it just goes from there.
That's pretty much the way the original songwriters did it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's where a lot of that appeal comes. It's very clear that it's a personal experience told by the person who lived it, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of it is just storytelling. If you listen to all the old, the heavy hitters from back in the day with, countries like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash, those are just stories that are being told.
Yeah. And, I think that if you've got a story that's deeply felt, then the music no longer becomes one of these things that rise and fall with fashion. You know that they seem to last longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they have a classic quality to them that appeal across generations. I remember when I first heard Hank Williams. My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and I wasn't allowed to listen to any secular music at all. I was just gospel on the Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And then I was working on a car with my grandfather, and he started playing Hank Williams, and I looked up at him, and I remember it like blew my mind because I never heard anything like it. And I told him I'd never heard it, and so we just sat there and listened to Hank, throughout the morning while we worked on this car, and that's where it kind of started with me. But it was, it was my grandfather, and I was his grandson, and it is still appealed to me.
Yeah.
I don't know how many other genres of music that you can actually apply that to. Maybe all of them, if they're good, if they're just good, solid music. But that's what kind of, it just, that's what kind of always like drew me to this style of music. It's kind of timeless.
Well, you know, it's a good thing the first artist you heard was Hank Williams, because, you know, that's starting right at the top, isn't it?
Yeah, he's pretty great. Yeah, he always makes you stop. Like, whenever you hear Hank, everyone just kind of pauses and, you know, have that look like, yeah, you listen to Hank right on.
Yeah. I don't think that he's been surpassed, and that's a pretty good example of the lasting quality, because there's nothing locked in. You know, those songs were late 40s, early 50s, mm-hmm. and yet they don't feel locked into a time period at all, do they?
No. I mean, they're still relevant. And like this morning, I was walking out of the house, and my roommate was listening to Hank. I didn't know he listened to Hank, and I was like, hey, man, nice song. He's like, yeah, Hank. I was like, cool, all right, I got to go. But like you said, they have an incredibly, just an incredible lasting quality to them that, you know, keeps it going.
Do you mix your own songs in with, you know, classics like Hank and Johnny Cash?
Sometimes we do. I like to play music because I've been lucky enough to meet some pretty amazing musicians that have been, you know, pushing this style of music or are working within this genre to kind of keep it going, or, you know, or writing the same, telling the same stories, that sort of thing. And so I like to play their songs as well, because they do have that lasting quality and they don't have that exposure. And it's more like a word of mouth things. But from time to time, we will break out some. We'll do like a Johnny Cash, Hank Williams medley with their songs, and just go from one verse to another.
Yeah.
And my bass player, Nick Danger, him and I will sing back and forth. He's got a very, very good Hank Williams sound to his singing style. So it's nice to do that, and it always keeps the crowd going. They hear something they know, and they, you know,
sure,
they dig it.
Well, has it been easy for you to find musicians that understand the whole feel that you're looking for?
Yeah, it has been. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to find some pretty great guys over the years. Right now, we're working with Caroline Pond, she's from Asheville, North Carolina. That's the same country, part of the country I'm from, mm-hmm. and she's kind of a legend out there. And she's out. She moved out here, and a promoter was like, you know, you should meet up with her and get linked up with her and see if you can get her to play with you. And I just thought she was kind of out of her league, and we kind of played phone tag a lot, and I never really thought we'd actually, like, nail her down. And then we started texting one day, and we were playing this festival over the Coal Owls, I just invited her out to come out, and then I met her, and literally 15 minutes later, we're on stage, and we're, you know, playing songs and everything.
That's
so
how it works.
Yeah. Now, we've been playing ever since, and everyone thinks we're related, because we both have a similar accent. Hers is a little bit more thick than mine, but yeah.
It all to the good. Thanks a lot, John, for coming in.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
John Ridgway plays guitar in Discord and Rye, the Americana band that will be performing tomorrow evening in our Atherton Performing Arts Studio. You can get details on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page. Sorry to be